Je m'en fous. Hey, out there in Montgomery County, Bucks County, Philadelphia County, Delaware County, Chester County, and wherever you're streaming this show. Hey, Vicky, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Stan. Oh, my God. The sun is shining today.
The sun is shining. Yes, my wife went out and played golf this morning.
How did she do?
I have no idea.
You just can't keep that woman off the golf course, and she's doing awesome.
You know, it's very upsetting to me because she's won like 4 club championships, and it's not a pretty sight, me groveling for strokes from my wife.
Are you becoming her caddy?
I've been her caddy for a while, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's because they keep you busy with the show.
Oh, God.
I am so excited about the show that we have today.
Yeah, we have a couple of guests here today. One thing I'm going to caveat this, Colonel Alan West, I was talking to him, if he is not back from Georgia in time, he was going to call in and kind of update us on the Texas suit. If not, he will definitely be with us next Friday. So that's what we're waiting. So if his name comes up, I will bring him right in. But we also have Christopher Scott here. Now, Christopher Scott has the Christopher Scott Talk Radio podcast. And his podcast is at ChristopherScottShow.com. You want to go there. It's probably one of the top conservative. And Chris is really a common sense person. You know, we talk about conservative today, but when you meet a true conservative, we are open to ideas. We love discussions because the only way that you get to better ideas is discussing different people's ideas. We're not afraid of facts. We're not afraid of anything. We just want to make sure everybody uses their common sense to determine what can happen. So Chris really falls into that category of person. So I call him a conservative podcast, but he's really a realist. He's a very pragmatic guy. He's a very common sense guy first. And I would call him more of an independent thinker than anything at all. He does a wonderful show, and he is the author of a book which is kind of a reprint. If you've ever read Common Sense by Thomas Paine, the great American, one of the founding fathers, and really a radical revolutionary at his time, it's written in Old English, so it's a little tough to read to get through it. I know as I was reading it, I had to go back 4 or 5 times over some different sentences. But what Chris did in his own inimitable way was he took the book and then wrote it in everyday English that you can follow very easily. And it's a great book, and it's a great read. It's not a long book. It's a short read. I mean, you can get it done probably in an hour, 45 minutes. If you read Thomas Paine, it may take you 3 or 4 hours because you're kind of always looking stuff up. That is who we have here today. So we're going to be talking to Chris. And I will tell you this, Vicky, once Chris and I get going,
I know I might not be able to get a word in edgewise.
You
but
just have to throw stuff
go,
at
guys.
Us. You just have to throw stuff at
hey,
us. That's all.
And not only that, we are talking about common sense, which lately it doesn't seem to be like a top priority for many, many people. So this is wonderful that he's here and his book, and oh my gosh.
So Chris, why don't you give people that great voice of yours that just will just give it away. Go ahead. By the way, he's like a 6'20"
I know.
Marine, ex-Marine, so you don't want to get an argument with this guy.
I've been told my voice is a bit of an aphrodisiac, so you've been warned. You know, listen, there's a lot of big stuff going on right now, and you know, I love the energy and the character that you guys bring to your show, and I got some great comments today from my show yesterday. I was actually joking around, which I haven't done in a while, and it felt good. Our country is at a bitter crossroads right now. We know that, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it. But the thing that ties in with common sense and Thomas Paine, a couple of things. The country was very much torn apart at that time as well. You know, when the second edition was published, which is the edition that's most widely known, by that time, the Declaration of Independence had already been signed. The Revolutionary War was already well underway. Thomas Paine then comes out with this very compelling, not very, the most compelling argument for freedom ever made. I think that's indisputable at this point. Why would he need to make a compelling argument for freedom when the Declaration of Independence had already been signed and the Revolutionary War was already well underway? Well, that's because the country was bitterly divided, far worse than we see today. Horrible things going on, fighting in nearly every American city. And it was as much a civil war as it was a revolution. And so Thomas Paine came out as the voice of reason. And that's, I think, thank you for the introduction, Stan. And Vicky, I appreciate your feedback on the book as well. It means a lot to me. I do all this purely, there's no ads on the podcast. I don't get paid. I don't sell anything. I do this for the same reason that Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense, never made any money from, by the way. Purely because I love this country. You know I'm a veteran, Stan, like you are. Matter of fact, it reminds me, I brought something for you.
Oh wow.
See, I do take I do take gifts.
Don't make me cry.
I don't know if you'll know what that is, Stan. You should. But, you know, I took an oath to defend the Constitution when I was 17 years old. And I say that oath didn't expire. And that's the fight that I continue today. And I don't want to do it in the form of a civil war. I don't want to see fighting in the streets. I want to do it through logic and reason.
Well, wasn't at the time that Thomas Paine wrote the book, there were always a group of people, and it's not uncommon today either, that were kind of saying, yeah, we like it, but, you know, they were thinking they have too many other things to worry about. They really didn't want to get into it. They didn't really come to realization what was at stake. And he wrote that to kind of wake everybody up that were sitting on the fence to say, listen, you know, and I think in the book it talks about, he says, we create our own suffering by the government we select. And I think that's
indeed
somewhere in his,
yep.
And it is so apropos to today that we are in charge of our future. Now, if we're voting for great government, but all of a sudden there's a bunch of fake ballots and manipulated elections, then those votes for good government are actually taken away from us. And
absolutely.
That's where we are today. So, you know, Thomas Paine, he actually went to join the French Revolution after our revolution. So he was always in the thick of things, no matter what was going on. But he was I would have loved to met him.
I guess he figured that common sense had to be spread throughout the world.
Yes. And that's why I defined Chris as a common sense individual as opposed to a conservative. I don't think you could frame Thomas Paine as a conservative. He just wanted good government. He just mm-hmm. wanted common sense to be used. Mm-hmm. He was a populist mm-hmm. because he understood the freedom of people is the freedom to create.
In many ways, he was a progressive, as were others of that time. And I think that, you know, one of the premises that we've lost is a very simple, effective, efficient government. You know, there's many different, you know, forms. And Vicky, you know this from, you know, being a leader in your community. You know, these communities have very different styles of government and things that they get involved in that often work very well in certain areas that wouldn't work in other areas. And to your point, Stan, when you start having, whether it's manipulation via foreign governments, and I know there's a contention there between the right and the left, was it the Russians, is it the Chinese? There's certainly no dispute on the incredible censorship going on social media and in the mainstream media right now. But it's creating, right back to the same problem that we have, and that is simply tyranny.
Mm. Yeah, and it's tyranny by the media because they're keeping people off being able to express their opinion. And I also believe, and I've said it in the show before, that this COVID is a great way to prevent people from meeting. And as I said, you know, if you saw the last Trump rally in Georgia, I mean, there was over 40,000 people
yep.
went out to see him. And then 40,000 people are yelling, we love you, we love you. I don't think Biden, other than his wife, can, and I don't even know if she says it, I love you. I don't even know if he could get two people to say I love you, except maybe if he paid for them like the Chinese did. Oh, by the way, did you hear what Ted Cruz said about the thing with Swalwell?
No, what?
I tell you, I almost fell off my chair. And this is coming from Ted Cruz. He goes, Well, you know, I always wanted to find ways of screwing the Chinese, but I think Swalwell has figured that out. I go, oh my, and that's from Ted Cruz. I said, well, you know what? He might get my vote at some point in the future, you know?
There's an article here. Let me just mention this briefly, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
You have the Epoch Times with you, and we were talking about this. I'm a big fan, and I recommend it to everybody right now.
Yeah, definitely. Just take it 1 minute. Epoch Times, you can get the app on your phone. They are hard-hitting articles. They're well-researched. They have the database in it, and they have a newspaper, which I get delivered to me. So I don't only get it on the phone. I have it on my – I get the newspaper, which I'm looking at right here.
Well, these guys deserve – what would you get, a Pulitzer? Is that the top
award? They should get something. You know, Obama got it for the Peace Prize, which we still haven't figured out. These guys should have a Nobel Prize no matter what happens,
exactly.
Or a Pulitzer Prize no matter
what. As best I can tell, it's the only reliable election information right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do the research for their articles so that you know that what you're being told, could possibly be the truth in media for a change.
Yeah, so they do their job. But go ahead, Chris.
Well, they're talking about here, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing and consume the show, but former Special Forces officer warns of color revolution tactics being used against Trump. He's referring to CIA tactics. I mean, you're getting into some serious conspiracy theory, James Bond stuff here. But, you know, Vicky and I were talking briefly before we came in. You know, you look at what's going on. Chinese military coming to Canada, it looks like. I heard Trudeau talking about it. I heard a rumor of possibly Chinese forces in the Caribbean. This impact in our own politics.
Yeah, by the way, they have the same voting system that they just instituted in Milwaukee and Detroit in Canada. So I don't know if Trudeau actually got the vote, because every Canadian I talk to hates his guts.
All this begins to make you wonder.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it definitely.
By the way, something I'll mention in this regard, and you know, I was refreshed to see this came up on Rush Limbaugh the other day. Many of my listeners ask me, what are we supposed to do? Many of them are veterans. And this problem of this stolen election, which it clearly is for many reasons, an attempt to steal the election, is creating a great moral dilemma for veterans, in my opinion, who have taken an oath to defend the Constitution. And now where you have, you know, reportedly, and it's Epoch Times, so I'm going to give it an added level of credibility, but, you know, somebody with deep inside the intelligence community saying, hey, these are tactics that we use to dismantle other governments that are now being used here. Who's responsible for that? And I wonder then, with the Chinese and the virus, and you start to think, wow, are all these disconnected stories?
When you think about it, and Vicky and I, we've talked about this before. Think about it. Trump had the best economy going.
Mm-hmm.
He would go to a rally, thousands of people would show up, he would fill the stadiums.
Yes.
He would fill the stadium. There is nobody that I know of, there's no politician that can just go up there and just rap like Trump does. It's like he's in your living room sitting there and we're just talking about stuff.
Yep.
And he just goes on. So people, if you really, and I know, Chris, you've looked at this, but I've always watched leaders. When a leader speaks, someone who's really good, it's like that person or an actor or a singer. You go to I remember going to see Keith Urban in live, and we had great, great seats. But all those people, when they perform or when they speak, it's like they're talking to you. And very seldom do you get that. And Trump has that. Joe Biden does not have that. In fact, when Joe Biden speaks, because usually after the second sentence, he forgets what he's saying, because Joe Biden's like a computer with 19 windows open, 17 are frozen, and he can't figure out where the music's coming from, you know?
So the guy has nothing. You know, he's got nothing of substance. Everything he has is being fed to him through an earpiece.
I like to think that those type of leaders that you're talking about are people that talk with you and not to you.
Yeah, they're not preaching to you. Like,
correct.
I was listening to Warlock, who's running for Senate in Georgia, and pretty much he's telling you this is what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to move any which way but one direction. And that's not freedom. And that's not what, that's not the Jack Kennedy Party, Democratic Party that I knew. As a matter of fact, Jack Kennedy could not be a member of the Democratic Party or would never have gotten the nomination because, number one, he was Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this transcends.
Wait, let me finish. Number two, he was pro-life. And number three, he was the first president in like 20 or 30 years to give a tax decrease.
Yep. So,
sounds more like Donald Trump to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's not.
Agreed.
Of course, he wasn't tweeting then, but I don't know about that. I think Kennedy's tweets might have been a little different, but
we might have been yelling about them too.
Yeah, we might have been yelling about them too. Yes.
But party politics aside, you know, when did it become acceptable for the government to be threatening the constituency? I mean, it's just the communication and all of that hostility. I don't know if it's 100%. It's not like I've taken a survey, but it sure seems like it's coming out of the left all the time.
Yeah.
And when you sit and you would talk with other people, like last night, because here in wonderful Pennsylvania, we're being shut down as far as being able to go into our favorite restaurants and enjoy the company of friends. And so last night, while I was out, it was quite interesting just sitting and listening to the conversations around. And people were saying, like, this just doesn't seem fair. Like, I can't go talk to my friends. I can't go. And the more I thought about it, isn't that maybe what the whole thing is about
with this corona,
to keep us separated, not talking, and getting the common sense from each other.
And guess what? You will notice that every time there's an increase of people reacting negatively to Biden or the Democratic Party, you got Hunter Biden's thing, all of a sudden the virus is back up again.
And, that's right.
And what it is they don't want people to get together. Where did a lot of the revolution start in America? It started in your
taverns,
churches
and
the taverns.
Yep.
All right. And what are they closing down? Churches and taverns.
Yep.
All right. So you got to remember, as I've often said, if you want to understand the future or see the future, just look at the past, and whatever happened in the past, it just gets updated. So this is the tact that these demagogues on the Democratic Party, and by the way, remember when Boris Epstein was here?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing he said was the Democratic Party is the only party that elects anti-Semites and races, and they elect and support them. And where are we at? We can see all the anti-Semites in the Democratic Party. And who was that Democratic congresswoman from Michigan who basically said, hey, if you're a Trumpster, we're coming after you, so watch out, watch your back.
Oh, yeah, vile.
Isn't that resurgence?
Oh, my God. I'm thinking, where's this woman coming from?
They shouldn't be, like, they're almost setting up and pushing the limits for good people to finally, that when they take a stand, and like you were saying, we need to keep this civil war civil. And they're pushing so hard to get the riots in the streets.
Yeah.
I want to bring up, and since we're talking about this, I want to bring up one thing. There's a book, the book of the week is called Racism and Anti-Racism in the World Before and After 1945 by Kathleen Brush. And she is a wonderful scholar and everything else. And she analyzed all the data, and I definitely put it on your list, Chris. She analyzed all the data before. She explains that prior to World War II, 1945, there were only 53 nations. The rest of them were basically empires. The British Empire was still there. The French Empire was still there. The German Empire had succumbed after that. But there were only 53 nations existed. After 1945, there were 193 nations. In those nations, the general philosophy was that in order to control their population, they had discrimination. They had policies that prevented groups from coming up. Take a look at the Turks and the Armenians. I mean, that's racism. It may not be black and white racism, but it's definitely racism. How about the Coptic Christians in Egypt? The racism they faced in many of the Arab worlds is a great book, which is another book that I recommend. It's called The Sword and the Scimitar, which I met the author, and it's a review of the history of the Muslim faith and how they dominated the world and what they did. Basically, they would, any Christian community, they basically killed all the guys, and they captured all the women because they loved the Western women. They're basically saying the same things that they say today, that Western women are, you know, are easy marks, which, by the way, Vicky gives me a look. If you could, if we were televised, you'd see this look. But that's true. I mean, look at
I'm a redhead through and through. Yeah, that ain't gonna change.
That ain't gonna change. Be careful. The knives are gonna be thrown at me. But anyhow, when you look at this history of what's going on, racism exists. As she points out, that in Libya, in Liberia, it's 100% black. And if you're white, you really can't compete, or you're not in business. So racism does exist. And I'll make it the long and short of it, and you can read all this stuff, and you're saying, okay, so what you want to determine is how bad is the racism in the United States? Well, interestingly enough, that America became the first nation to establish an anti-race legal system. Now, it took us a long time to get that through, but there was a concerted effort in the United States, the first nation to do that, to prevent this anti-racism and to create a legal system in the world. So the bottom line is that when you get to the end, America is probably the least racist country in the world. Mexicans, Hispanic people in America have such a greater per capita income than any other place in the world, and more than anywhere in South America on a per capita basis. And the black population in America has the way highest economic per capita than anywhere else in the world, including any black country. So the fact is, and the only way that happens is if we have the least discrimination, which allows people to move through the strata to become the best versions of themselves. So what do you think about that, Chris?
Well, Stan, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the Statue of Liberty. I'm thinking about Mount Rushmore. You know, you look at the images around Rushmore and the sun glistening in, and there's a story behind it. These symbols of freedom that have been symbols of freedom, not just for people here, but for people around the world. Another opening comment by Thomas Paine in Common Sense, that these ideals of freedom ought not be just a concern for people here, but for people around the world. And you're absolutely right. So I don't know if we've gotten the whole racism thing perfect or not. You know, it sure seems like we have a hell of a hard time getting along. I don't like anybody, so it's easy for me.
By the way, we are socially distanced. He's like 40. He's about 40 feet from us. By the way, if you want to call in and join in this discussion, 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. And you can join in and talk to this deep baritone Chris Scott, who's just unbelievable here.
So. I know, it was funny when I was researching for the show today, I hit on you see his picture, and then all of a sudden you hear this voice, and I went, oh my God, yeah. Boy, we're in for it today.
Yeah. Hey, if I can give a quick plug, by the way, sorry, I should have asked you your permission to do this.
That's all right, I can be bought.
There's a great book by a local guy, it's called Forgotten and Abandoned. He works locally, lives in New Jersey, wrote this book while he was furloughed during quarantine, self-published it. And you know what that costs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a cheap endeavor. A young guy with a family.
Do you have his name?
Joe America is the pen name, the author name. And part of the reason that I mentioned you're talking about my voice, I'm going to be doing the audio book for that.
Oh, great.
Which I'm doing for him for free. And if I could just throw in, I know you guys donate a ton.
Can I do a paragraph? I'll do the Ford.
It's a fantastic book. I've been telling people, and I think his sales.
By the way, your audiobook was very good, too. I mean, I just, you know.
The Lion?
I said, God, why can't I talk like this?
I appreciate it. I have it. You know, I love it. You know, you were talking about Trump speaking, and I think we were talking a little bit about this last night. And this is not I say yes, I do have to be a little bombastic. Somebody has to promote me because nobody else is going to do it.
Right.
I try not to overdo it.
Okay, you can overdo it.
I
overdo it all the time.
I'm just here for the balance, guys.
Well, you know, I mean, I know you should. You love being behind the microphone. You love to be heard. It's a passion.
Well, in these days, we need to be heard.
We need to have a voice.
That's
my point. And, you know, I've had people say, to get up there and talk for an hour. I do it on the podcast. I do a monologue. Very few guests here and there. And I've kind of stayed away from it for a variety of reasons. But to just get up and talk. And a lot of times I might have, you know, about what you're looking at here. That may be my notes. And I just sit back and start talking. And they come out with some of the greatest stuff. And sometimes I get a little off point, as does Trump. And, you know, the listeners will call me on that. But it is something that people can learn to do. And that power of the spoken word, even this, in this digital age, I think is supremely important. Mm-hmm. And so for people that have a desire and a passion that want to see this country change, it starts with each of us. I'm trying to do my part. I know you guys are doing your part, but I ask people all the time, are you doing your part? I'm not asking you to go out on a limb, mortgage the house, give up all your free time, but do something to help the cause and advance the cause of freedom, protect the cause of freedom in this country.
It's and important. Even if that's tuning into us or going on and listening to your podcast and then spreading that message that we're trying to get out there.
And Common Sense, by the way, that book, and you can get the original version for free, by the way. I didn't come out here to sell books. If I ever make a penny from this thing, it'll be amazing. It's not why I did it. It really wasn't. But I do think it is the best way to read it. I always tell people, if you're in a financial hardship, you really want to read it, email me. I'll send you the PDF for free. Okay? I might even send you a free signed copy. I send them out all the time. But it's a book that can open up political thinking in a very nonpartisan way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I do recommend it, reading for everybody, understanding why these principles of our government are so important, like the due process thing that we were talking about last night with this election. You know, if we were, I used this analogy, I did a little video that kind of blew up on Twitter. Imagine that we're playing poker and we got a little poker thing going. There's five of us and we've been playing, you know, every night, and we get to Friday night, $5,000 pot, $1,000 bonus, $10,000 there. And you get there and the dealer deals out the cards and you're like, I got six cards here. And he's like, yeah, we changed it. You're like, what do you mean you changed it? We've been playing with five cards. I made a buy in. And you're looking at your hand like Trump, right? And you're looking, I got a full house. So you know what?
Yeah, I got five aces.
Yeah, Trump's again. So then the dealer does that. He throws his cards down so you can't see him. He grabs the money out of the pot and he says, five aces, I win. And you're like, what? That's impossible. Let me see your cards. And he says, what are you accusing me of cheating? Then he takes the cards all off the table and the remaining deck, and he shuffles them all together. He says, Here, go through them and prove that I cheated and prove that it changed the outcome of the game.
Our ballot system, mail-in ballot system.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things as a CEO, you know, we always come up with problems, but I like to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And so we have a problem in this country in our electoral system. And I know, Chris, you agree with me on this, is that in order to have a democracy is the hardest form of government to maintain, because it requires three things. It requires an election system that is transparent and is as non-fraudulent as possible to have. The next thing you do, and it's kind of an oxymoron, you need to have politicians, your elected officials, have to have integrity and transparency. And then the third thing is you must, and there's also a fourth thing, which you pointed out to me last night. The third thing is you have to have a one-tier justice system, not a two-tier justice system. You know, when somebody gets rid of 30,000 emails and they were required to supply them and they were subpoenaed and nothing happens to that person, but you go ahead and do it and you wind up in jail and fine and everything else and tased, you know, that's not a two-tier justice system. If you're Roger Stone and you're taken into custody with armed guards, a SWAT team, guns, and you're ripped out of your home in your underwear at 3:00 in the morning. I didn't see that happening to Joe Biden's son, to Hunter Biden's son, or anything else like that. So you got to have a one-tier justice system. And then the other thing that you said last night, which really hit me, is we must have an honest press. We must have a press with journalism that do journalism. Now, they can be leaning one way or the other. I don't have a problem with that, because there's nobody on the face of this earth that doesn't have a presidential view one way or the other. And that's okay. Just let people know that.
It helps keep it balanced.
But then at least recognize mm-hmm. that you are a journalist and you have an obligation that if something comes up, to check it out fully and not be dictated by some communist government that's basically, you know, footing the bill for all your salaries and giving you money left and right, which is obviously what the Chinese have done. They bought everybody else off. I mean, you see the thing on Tucker Carlson the other night where they have the Chinese, which basically was scrubbed from all the websites in China, where he's basically laughing and talking about, yeah, well, we basically have all kind of people in power and control in the United States. The Chinese government, they're so happy that they pretty much own every person here.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that they bought it so cheap.
And they bought it cheap.
Look at Bernie Sanders. You know, $1 million last year. He made $1 million a year before, book deals. Great. I mean, I don't know how these guys. I mean, their penmanship is incredible. It's Stephen King must be jealous of the Obamas. All the work he's putting into developing a career as an author, and the Obamas just come in and you know, $70 million the day they walk out of office. Amazing that this happens. Look, the bottom line is politicians.
Sure the Chinese were behind that. They probably gave the publisher.
Maybe. Who knows what influences were behind it? I think it's many, and they've sold these offices. Look at Paul Ryan. How does he explain the $5 million increase in his net worth and the fact that he got in the way of certain action, preventing a lot of
Paul Ryan was always a hack and always will be a hack. But, you know, in solving the problem that we've just pointed out, I am proposing that the Pennsylvania, a couple of things that we should do. Number one, because there's so many people in our country today, it's not like it used to be, you know, where you may only had like 35 million people voting and things like that. Now we have close to 200 million people voting.
Some of them are dead.
Yes, they are.
Got that number.
Yeah.
No dead voters for Trump.
Well, hold on a minute. That's very interesting. There was an old guy who's about 95 years old. He went in to vote in Montgomery County, and he said to ask the judge of election, "Hey, did my wife vote yet?" And the guy says, "Hold on a minute. Go check." And says, "Oh, yeah, she voted earlier this morning." He says, "Doggone it, I missed her again because she's been dead for 30 years." So, you know, but no kidding, there's over 350,000 people that are on the voting rolls that are dead. But here's what we need to do. We need to have a voting weekend, a three-day weekend, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And those are the voting times. You can have absentee ballots, but they're strictly controlled. One person, one vote with ID. There's no place you have to supply your ID for almost anything today. Mm-hmm. So you need ID. So that's number one, and you need a very strong system. All right. The next thing you got to do, and this is something that has to be done, but we have a lot of greedy politicians out there, as you know, that make a lot of money selling their influence.
And you know what? We're seeing their true colors
point. It's been sold over and over.
So mm-hmm. What you've got to do is you've got to limit. If you're running for office in the state that you live in, whether it's senator, state representative, state senator, congressman, you can only get money from people in the state. No out-of-state money can come into the state.
What would you do with the guy who, say, owns a business in Pennsylvania, lives in Florida? Does he get to give money in Pennsylvania?
If he is not a voter and doesn't reside in Pennsylvania, I wouldn't give him the money because, in effect, he doesn't really care about the Pennsylvania citizen because he's in Florida. He cares about the money he has to spend in Florida for his yacht or boat or anything else like that. That's why.
How about corporate money?
Corporate money.
Well, right now you can't receive corporate money.
You can't receive corporate money. So it has
unless
to be individual.
Unless they create, well, that's where we get into the transparency. They can create a PAC and get money.
But you can control the PAC too.
Correct.
You can control the PAC too. Because I say the people of Pennsylvania or any state, why the hell do you want money coming, millions and millions of dollars coming from people in California who really don't care about you as citizens here? That's why they sold your jobs to China and everywhere else.
And that's what we were seeing this last election.
So you have to understand that is how to control that. And I know John McCain tried so hard, but he never got to the heart of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I happen to believe that I would do away with, I think, what's the one that allows the direct election of senators by the populace? That was an amendment to the Constitution back in 1923. I forget which number it is. But an amendment was passed for the direct election of senators. Up until that point, the senators were elected or appointed by the state legislature and the governor. Now, what that did, it had built-in term limits built in with that, because if a state flipped its legislative body, then you had a different senator. So that it had a built-in thing. So what happened, those senators were strictly responsible for supporting the state. And when you did that, you opened the door, the Pandora's box, to all the crap that's going on today. Because Pennsylvania would have two state Republican senators, because we vastly outnumber the Democrats. I mean, if you look at the districts in Pennsylvania that voted red, it's everywhere except for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Correct.
And a little bit up
Allegheny. Is that completely? How about Montgomery County?
Montgomery County, we could almost consider that. But I'm going to tell you about Montgomery County.
Wait a minute.
Let's see. August 29th or 26th of 1996. Do you know 147,000 people registered to vote on that day? 95% of which.
It's an incredible story. I heard you talking about it the other day.
In Montgomery County.
95% of these people voted in this last election.
Somebody called down to the election office. Has anybody said?
Hold on a minute. The next thing is I want the state legislature to immediately, number one, to force everyone to go to the voter rolls and eliminate all the dead people. Very simple. All you have to do is go to the probate courts, get the list of people that have been probated. You will have almost the most accurate, updated list of people who have died.
Why does that require court action to get that done?
Because no one's doing it, because it's obvious. It's used to rig the system.
Even each county has different voter rolls than what the state even has.
Yeah. It's crazy. So number one, that's the first thing you do. The second of all, you standardize all of these systems, all of the voting registration bureaus. The next thing you do is you start analyzing all the votes, all the people registered, and their signatures. You've got to do it. You need a forensic review of all these registration votes. I will tell you this, that I believe in Montgomery County, there are 40-some thousand supposedly registered Democrats that aren't really should be on the rolls. And guess what? How much did you lose in the last election by? About 30-some thousand votes.
Exactly the same amount.
And it's all, and how about Kathy Burnett? On election night, she wins 75% of the precincts. It wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. But a couple days later, she lost. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She lost by 30-some thousand votes.
This has to get fixed. Absolutely imminent. So let's take a bite out.
Oh, by the way, Madeline Dean Sussman has businesses in China. Just to let you know that part of it. And I'm wondering if they paid. I have no proof of this, but I will theorize here so no one sues me. I will theorize that, you know, is it possible that, that they used the Dominican system or something was going on? I don't know.
See, the worst thing that they have done is they have made a lot of people mad. And sometimes when people get mad, instead of doing revenge on the streets, they start researching. Mm-hmm. And then they start to put everything together, and all of a sudden the puzzle that only had a few pieces now is becoming filled. So in my opinion, we may have some fun in the next couple of years.
Well, I will tell you,
hopefully that it gets solved quickly.
I will tell you this, if you think about and I've had try to have this conversation with my nephew. One of my nephews is a hardcore Democrat, and I love him. Business together. He's a great guy, a wonderful guy, and very, very honest person, you know. But he's like, he says, well, you're a Republican. I said, no, I just have an R after my name. I'm more of a common sense, I have to clarify. He's a Democrat, okay?
I know. That's why I'm sitting here. And two men that are like dealing with common sense, using common sense. I'm like thrilled today.
Yeah, well, they get you excited. Well,
yeah, listen,
I want to be clear on something I think is very important. First of all, fixing the integrity of these elections is absolutely paramount right now. I'm hopeful of this Texas lawsuit. I hate to see the country going through this, but if people are looking to point the finger, I think you can point the finger firmly at these Democrat governors, specifically Governor Wolf. He knew, and I want to make sure people understand this. when he came out and made this decision that he was going to make all these election law changes, it was the Republicans in the state legislature of Pennsylvania that filed those lawsuits, not Trump or the Trump campaign. The Republicans that control the legislature of this state said no, filed lawsuits. Then some liberal judge comes out with this wild ruling. But the objection was there. And I saw in the news today, I knew this was coming. They said that Trump should have done more to argue this before the election. Bull!
Yeah,
they
did
argue it.
We've been arguing it for the last year.
You don't change the rules.
Let me bring Don in here for a minute. Don, did you want to say something? Because I know
I think
got you wired at this point.
He's coming.
Well, what I really wanted was that, and I'm gonna go into a little bit of what he just said. One of the things they said was that you couldn't do it beforehand was that you didn't have standing because nothing had happened yet. That's why they waited until after the election to go to court. Mm. But the other thing I want to say is I agree with you about the money. And just look at what's going to happen in Georgia when that happens now.
Yep, absolutely. You're right, Don, on that. So I'm glad you agree with me. That's why I love you so much.
Well, you're my hero, Stan.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't forget, I got that $100 workout with you, so I look really good. How many push-ups can you do? 3? Good, I can do 4 for sure, no problem at all.
That might be pushing it. But, you know.
Yeah, which reminds me, I do want to remind people about Joanne Capressi's help foster children.
Yes.
And if you go to Joanne Capressi, CIPRESSI.com, on her website, you can put a you can buy some clothes for the foster children who are in these foster homes. And Joanne is a foster child. So she knows what it's like to be a foster child. You know, are you accepted, not accepted, or anything else like that? I'm surprised that Joanne is as normal as she is, given how difficult it is.
She has common sense, though, too.
She has common sense. You know, she's overcome.
I mean, she's doing a radio show with Dawn.
My parents hated me. Does that count?
Your parents didn't want you to begin with. They've been telling you that for years.
2 years ago, I asked my father, I said, when you were disappointing me, were you laughing on the inside? He said, no.
No.
So anyhow, so go to JoanneCapressi.com and put your offer in. And you can also challenge Don to a workout. And you haven't lived till you've done a workout with Don. It'll make you feel so good about yourself.
I'm all about helping people.
I know. And thank you, Don, for your input. I appreciate that. All right.
No problem, buddy.
All right. So anyhow, so as we talked about the money aspect of this, and we talked about the voting weekend, the other thing is when you're going to have a voting weekend, I'm going to, we're so technically smart. We need to have 24/7 camera. Of all these, but we don't need as many voting places. I would cut back the number of voting places because you have 3 days. Now you can limit maybe, for example, 10 and make it into 4.
And actually leave the cameras on and not disconnect
the
places.
The cameras are left on.
Why also isn't a audit a standard practice? Now, I believe part of the answer to that might be, it would take months to go through and do it.
Yeah, but the real audit, they do a recount, but all you're doing is recounting the bad votes.
That's right.
It needs to be a forensic audit in which you need to match signatures with signatures. Mm-hmm. Because, as I said, there were people, our people found out, and some of this evidence was used in these court cases, is that we had people voting that were 120 years old. In fact, there's one person on the voting roll.
And they vote religiously.
Yeah, and they vote religiously, like 5 voters.
Well, somebody who grew up on tomato pie from the Country Hawk and Bakery could probably live to be 120.
Oh, yeah.
Tomato pie is good. But, you know, when you think about it, I think the oldest person was 165 years old on the voting rolls, just to let you know.
That's a lot of tomato pie.
Yeah, that's a lot of tomato pie. See, so you've got to make sure the cameras are there. And then what you need to have is every candidate needs to be able and be allowed to have their people in the polls actually doing the counts and actually there supervising everything. That's the only way to do it. And no machine can be connected to the internet.
Correct.
I tell you,
and
I
nobody
like
nobody better be walking in, you know, with USBs.
A buddy of mine said this
I like the old lever machines.
He's actually from where you're from. He said very simply, why do we have these new machines? They don't do anything any different than the old machines do,
because
except that now they're connected to the internet.
Wolf came in 2 years ago, and he said, we need to upgrade all these machines, because if we do this, it's going to make it a lot better, and there's going to be
Trump
less fraud.
Yeah, that was the sidebar conversation you had, which was off mic, I'm sure. You know,
I want to throw something out there. I want to make sure we don't miss coming out of Thomas Paine. Very important with where we're at right now. Very important for people to understand. And my biggest fear right now. He said, you know, it's not the radicals. It's not those of you that are fighting for freedom that are the problem. It's not those of you that are firmly against freedom from Britain that are the problem. It's you in the middle, the moderates that do nothing. And he went on basically to very eloquently criticize those people, saying, you know, you're neither hot nor cold. He was like this biblical reference
right,
to that.
Right.
And look, the election is lacking in basic integrity. This needs to be corrected. And I think the attorney general down there in Texas, what he came out and said, it's exactly what I've been saying all along, just like the analogy of the cards thrown together. There is no way at this point any audit is going to uncover all this by January 20th the date is.
No.
You're going to have to push this to a different venue, and there's a procedure to do that. In the meantime, the radical liberals and Marxists that have infiltrated our media,
Our schools, everywhere,
are running a campaign that is pushing this country down a road of devastation. We do have other important things to talk about. We're taxed $18,000 per year for every man, woman, and child in this country. That's the total of the taxes taken in this country, state, local, and federal.
Mm-hmm.
$18,000 a year, family of four, what is that, $140,000 or $72,000, right? It's oppressive. I mean, there's an enormous amount. On top of that, you know, we've borrowed ourselves into oblivion.
Well, you got to remember, the strongest lobbyist group in any state is the teachers' unions. And the teachers' union, you know, they used to see, you always see this, the industrial, you know, stop the military industrial complex. Well, I will say today that there's more than just a military industrial complex. There is the military industrial complex, but I think they're down around 10 today. But I think the worst industrial complex is the educational industrial complex.
I think you could broaden that, the public worker unions. And I've talked about this at length. I am a pro-union guy, just to be fair.
I'm a pro-government
worker union guy. I think it's a very important protection from rampant cronyism and nepotism. It's that union becomes the last line of defense.
Right.
However, I think we should add to that list of election reform that it is just absurd that public sector unions are engaging in the political process.
Well,
they're
not supposed to do that, but obviously they do.
Oh, sure they can. It's the police union can't. But I believe all the other unions are free to.
I thought, what was that, the Hatch Act, or what act was that, public employees are not, you can't make a public employee work at the polls.
Correct. And they can't use anything in the public, like if it's in the particular offices, cannot be used for anything political. But you can have political meetings there.
Yeah, I got that. But
we're not talking about the same thing.
See, I don't believe the public unions or any union on a union basis as a whole should be allowed to contribute to a campaign.
That's my point.
The individuals in that union, no problem. They can speak. They have the right to do that.
Absolutely.
Because what happens is, you know, we had the stuff, you know, I've had these meetings and I've actually had union people in my house and they were saying, well, we're voting for Trump. You know, our big guys are telling us to vote for Biden, but no way are we voting for Trump. We're voting for Trump. And I said to them, they're probably voting for Trump too. And one of the guys said, yeah, you're probably right about that, because they know Biden doesn't give a crap about the unions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Democrats, they're not a populist movement. They've given that up. So the reality is that we need to control this. We need to control the money aspect of it and make it more of an individual basis so that the candidate with the best ideas who can speak the best, explain the ideas. Just like any product, he gets the vote, he gets the money. It's very simple. I'm all for that.
Well, I got to add something I think important to that for me, and that is honoring the Constitution. You know, there's a lot of great ideas out there, and some of them are progressive, and some of them I support. I'm a supporter of solar. I'm not a supporter of the New Green Deal. I'm a supporter of...
There's a place for it, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I remember as a kid living in West Country, and you couldn't go down in the Schuylkill River. It was polluted.
Right.
And now that's all been cleaned up. And these things have been good. Some of it obviously gotten way out of control.
In fact, I can't wait for... I love global warming because I can't wait to have palm leaves in Philadelphia because my property would go up. Atlantic City, could you imagine my house in Ocean City? It'd be worth a fortune with palm trees. Oh, my God.
Always an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Come on, global warming. I mean, I hate shoveling snow.
But these things really
have to
get fixed. And I hope that, like you said, Vicky, I hope people will spend some of the time and say, wait a minute, something's not right here. You know, look at, you know, why are these things happening? Start connecting the dots and asking these questions.
I think the second lockdown, and I'm going to, from the conversations last night, the second lockdown that's happening right now on the restaurants, the gyms, everything that would bring people together and keep people healthy, are being shut down right now. And I think a lot of the business owners who were promised, oh, we're not going to shut down again, we'll never shut down again, like we've got this, the vaccine's just around the corner, you know, we can do this. And now they shut them down at the time when they would make their most
I still want an investigation to look at all the deaths that occurred or blamed on COVID. Because early on, there were a lot of deaths that were switched the other way because people complained about it. People who knew that their husband or their daughter died of a stroke or something like that. And they said, oh, no, they may have gotten COVID, but that wasn't what killed them.
Here's even a more of a common sense thing to this. The numbers that they're giving us now, are these numbers that include last year's COVID? Because usually what they do is they end it and then they start new numbers for the new flu seasons and the new...
Well, there's something else going on here too, because COVID itself, it a lot of people who have had it had very little symptoms. Even the governor, I believe, he's got it, but he has no symptoms of it. I mean, he's not in any difficult...
He talked yesterday.
I go through the roof with this conversation because the lunacy is so far and wide. First of all, who are these scientists? I was listening to a doctor the other day.
Rachel Levin.
Maybe that's one of them, right? I was listening to a doctor.
She's one of the scientists, right?
I don't know if you call
doesn't
a doctor.
It was funny because yesterday I was listening to everything that they were talking about. And at one point they said they had the data. So then when the reporter came on and asked, okay, so where exactly is that data from so I can get it? Well, it's not really Pennsylvania's data. And I'm like, okay, so you're shutting these people down based on a science that...
Remember we had Max here for all those weeks doing the numbers? So we have a Secretary of Health who is a doctor, a scientist, who doesn't believe in the science of biology. As simple as that. So, you know, what can I tell you?
I just, you know, look, I'm a germaphobe. I've always have been. And I like social distancing. I don't like anybody too close to me, you know.
I'm happy with
the 6 feet, you know. But, you know, the lunacy behind the whole thing and the lack of any real science. And this is what's comical. You say, well, we're going to listen to the scientists. Who are these scientists? They're not elected. I don't even know who they're talking about. I'm listening to a doctor. Here's a verifiable point. We know. What's the number one health problem in this country? Obesity, right?
Yeah. Right.
How many people have gained weight? Maybe a pound I gained. You know, how many people? I see liquor sales, record highs.
I have the scale, by the way.
Did you see what's going on with a Pornhub? Nobody likes to talk about this stuff.
Pornhub?
Pornhub is the largest. You can look at it.
What's the website for Pornhub?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's the largest pornography website on the internet. It gets far more traffic.
Everybody's home. They got nothing to do.
They're getting sued or shut. I forget the holder, but basically there was child pornography on there. Rampant, this stuff going on right in plain view. People need to understand the dangers of these things. Look at this all tied together. Look at what's happening. We're talking about the lockdowns and people being quarantined. What I'm saying is, like, people's behaviors are shifting to these very unhealthy habits. I saw another divorce rates up. I don't know if that's true. And you know, one of the things I'd say
domestic too, violence is up, child abuse is
Vicky
up.
Vicky would know that because she was the mayor in Pennsburg.
Yep. And I mean, the numbers that we're seeing and the increases and the
So the way to solve this problem is we have to come to grips with, number one, we have to do a serious investigation on these COVID deaths. We know it's 99.9% recoverable. It's not a death sentence like AIDS was. You know, that was a different story. We also know that there are, what do they call it? Not remedial, but there are therapeutics that you mm-hmm. can take. I mean, I went through the list of it. I take a little bit more vitamin C. I actually drink a little quinine water every day mm-hmm. because it's a malaria-based drug. I've listened to the doctors, and I've done that. I've taken my flu shots that I've gotten. I've been in, as you know, Vicky, I've been in crowds. I try to be common sense. I don't hug and kiss people left and right. I don't smell anybody's hair.
I was a little taken aback by the way you came at me.
So we're fine. Oh, by the way, I usually
greet people with my hand on their neck.
I just wanted, did you hear the ladies? You know, Joe Biden was asked to assemble his cabinet, and he was coming back from IKEA, and he realized he misunderstood what they were talking about. So just to let you know.
You're on a roll.
These are good.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. You're putting together some good material there. This is political humor is tough to do.
I know. Of course, the classic one was
that's
Obama.
Why he has me on to laugh.
Obama went to visit the Queen in England. You remember when he went to visit the Queen in England, and he asked the Queen how she keeps everything together and how you find these great people. And she said, well, listen, I just ask him a riddle. And he said, you ask him a riddle? Yeah, so I'll demonstrate. So Tony Blair comes in and she goes, hey, Tony, if your mother and father had a baby and it wasn't your brother, it wasn't your sister, who was it? And Tony says, well, that's simple. It's me. Obama goes, great idea. Jumps back on Air Force One, flies back to the United States. And the first person he sees is Joe Biden. And he says, hey, Joe. He said, if your mother and father had a baby and it wasn't your brother, it wasn't your sister, who was it? And Joe says, let me get back to you on that because I don't have my my teleprompter with me and I'm not sure of the answer. So as he's walking back to the Capitol, he sees Maxine Waters and he says, hey, Maxine, if your mother and father had a baby and it wasn't your brother, it wasn't your sister, who is it? Maxine says, it's me. Maxine Waters. Joe Biden gets all excited, runs up to see Obama and says, I got the answer. It's Maxine.
So, it's a long setup, but it's a great joke, Steve. Yeah, I always say I never get liberal humor. It's just silly to me.
Have a great week, everyone. Yeah, everybody.